This call is now being recorded.
Gisa, can you do a roll, please?
Absolutely. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's JAS call on Tuesday, the 13th of July, we have Ivan Leibovich, Avery Doria, Rafik Damak, Alex Kakuru, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Tijani Benjema, Carlos Aguirre, Elaine Pruz, Richard Tindall, Andrew Mack, Sébastien Bachelet, and we have apologies from Boudouin Chombé and Glenn de Saint-Géry. But could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Avery and Evan.
Okay. Thank you. This is Avery. I guess I'm starting out. First thing we've got is the agenda adoption. And in the agenda, I wanted to actually offer an amendment and suggest perhaps that we put that up front. And that would be, I sent out last week a quick outline of what the, not only what would be in the final report, but who would have first responsibility. Obviously, that the staff has ultimate. So I'd like to put a discussion of that up front before we get into the two details. Would anybody object to my doing that to the agenda? Wow, I see it happening before my eyes. So seeing and hearing no objection, we'll do that. Then we would go into the Work Team 2, basically an update on developments, and I'll ask whoever is sort of leading that or coordinating that, for want of a better term, to basically give an update. We'll go into discussion as normal, and then I'll pass the chair over to Evan, who will do the same thing for Work Team 1 and update on the developments, discussion, and then cover any other business. Am I correct in assuming that we're on for a 90-minute slot? Is that a correct assumption, or are we a 60-minute slot?
60.
We are 60. Is that correct, Gisela?
Avery, we've got another call at 1400 UTC,
okay,
depending who's on the RTPB group.
Okay.
If you wish to stay on for extra, it wouldn't be a problem.
Okay, but
it's currently scheduled for 60 minutes.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll go for 60 then. I just was asking because I didn't remember. It was another number thing. Okay, so let me bring up, and last thing I wanted to point out just is that we are coming up on we're 10 July to 10 August, so we're in that slot of doing our weekly conference calls on ending. We've got a 13 August as a final recommendation posted, and when we had discussions, we talked about, you know, the need for at least one or two meetings. Now, they don't need to be two separate weeks. We may decide to cram more meetings into a final week to do the walking through of the document and make sure we're all comfortable with what's going out. So we don't have that much time left. Let me bring up the... I'm almost acting like I'm confident on this. Report outline. As I say, it was a short, quick document. In terms of how the final report would be structured coming out of this. So basically, the first part was front matter, which was, you know, and I think people have all seen these reports, an overview of the working group, purpose, objective, motion history, you know, the description of the working methods, the summary, perhaps that sort of information, and that's something that would be staffed on. Staff, whenever I say staff, am I talking about you, Olaf?
I suppose you're talking about me. That may change, though. May be helped by Carl on this, but that hasn't really been decided yet. So,
it's okay for me to call staff then.
Olaf is, well, at least Olaf, perhaps somebody else.
Okay, so maybe further next one I'll put Olaf plus and leave it at that, not to refer to you in an impersonal.
Yeah, then, staff is pretty good, I think.
Staff is pretty good. Fine, I'll leave it at that. I know how busy you are. Then working group responsibility is the recommendations from the two working teams. And that's basically, I was thinking, essentially the snapshot plus any changes, sufficient explanatory material. One of the things we talked about last time is a lot of the comments we got seem to be as much on not quite being sure what we said and disagreeing with something perhaps we had said as actual differences of opinion. So that needs to be done, more explanatory material. And also, I guess, if there are any changes or whatever that we make based on comments, obviously those would be fed in. Last week, I guess Andrew suggested that this be broken down by the two, you know, work teams, each working on their section in the same method and mode as the snapshot. I think that makes sense. Then the next section would be something that would be basically suggesting written by Evan and I, which is, you know, recommendations for next steps, including any possible extension of charter, proposal for the foundation, outreach of funding and help organizations, other specific work. So this would be Evan and I working, you know, and presenting it to you all, obviously, for comment, but basically setting down the items of further work that come out of the work that you're describing in WT 1 and 2, what things won't be done, what things could we possibly get chartered to continue working on. So when I say proposal for a foundation, I don't mean we would write up a proposal of a foundation, but we would write up the meta text of go work on founding a proposal, you know, producing one of those is what I meant, and that Evan and I would be responsible as the drafting team to produce the first draft of that, and then we would put it, you know, on the schedule for discussion. And
yeah.
Then the staff responsible for all the important, you know, back matter that you find in any of these reports, you know, basically, you know, as we get the comments, so there's the synopsis of the comments that we get, plus one of the practices that started happening, which I hope we can follow, is for every comment we indicate our answer to it. Otherwise, one answer is, yes, that's already in there. It's in Section 3.4. No, we thought about it and decided not to go that way for the following reasons. Yes, thank you for the comment. We have changed the text in Paragraph 17. So
yeah.
Those kinds of answers, they don't need to be long and detailed, but they need to show that we looked at it, we thought about it, and what we did. We don't have to necessarily make the recommended change, but we do need to consider it and decide one way or another. And then there's the charter. Then we have to include the explanation of the charter discrepancy, the fact that we're working on a 5-bullet charter when we only had a 4-approved bullet, but I think that's already pretty much written. It just needs to be done. And then, like in all these things, there's also attendance sheets. And, of course, everybody reviewing everybody's stuff all the time. So any comments on that as an outline? There were a few online. I didn't see any disagreement, but I may have missed it. I'll open up to anyone that wants to comment. I see no hands.
Yes, Tijani. Tijani?
Yes, I don't see your hand, but go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So I think that the main, if you want, the main part of our work of our report will be bullet point 2, isn't it? Recommendation.
Oh, most definitely.
Okay. So as I see, as it is written here, it seems to me that it is almost the snapshot. Plus minus minor changes or something like this, but I see that our snapshot is not enough for our report. It gives some points that we discussed together and on which we have agreement or not full agreement, but it is the situation at this time. Now we need to give to the board, as per his resolution 20, we have to give them a way for to support applicants. So we didn't describe ways. We didn't describe mechanisms for this support. So I think that we need a deep work now based on what we did before Brussels and based also on the comments, on the question answers, etc., to define a certain mechanism to show the board our recommendations. Our recommendation must be more or less mechanisms for support.
Okay, open up the queue for others. My first response is, actually, I think our job is more to indicate the policy and the direction. The actual how a mechanism would be implemented is something that happens more in give and take with the staff on the actual details of many mechanisms, I would think. But what do others think? And certainly that deeper work for the work teams is fine, but what do others think? I see two hands. And Evan, I think I saw yours first, and then Andrew.
I thought that some of the how was sort of explicitly within our work group, too, that we would do some of the high-level mechanisms. Staff would work out the niggly details, but the generics of how it gets done, I thought, is totally within this group.
Okay, so you think there's more work to be done in WT2 to define those mechanisms?
That was my gut. I mean, obviously,
okay.
If we run out of time, some of that will have to go in as to be determined, and then it's sort of up to staff.
Okay.
I would prefer that the more we're able to put forward, the less is left to discretion.
Okay, thank you. Andrew.
Yes, Avi, thanks, and good morning, everyone. I think I like the idea that Tijani is talking about. I think that some of it may be a little bit impractical given the amount of time that we have left, honestly. My understanding of our responsibility was to get the outline right as much as possible first, and then some of the things will take time for us to develop. For example, the funding sources and things like that. That may take some time, and we all acknowledge that up front. The other thing is that my understanding is that some of the mechanism pieces of it we will want to develop in conjunction with staff, right? Because it's a little bit unclear who may have the ball, and there will certainly be a role for staff. So I was under the impression that we wanted to do this a little bit more collaboratively. I don't disagree that we should try to get through Working Group 2 and generally as far along as we possibly can, but I'm a little afraid both we don't want to put cart before horse. We still need to get agreement on what we want to get done.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah, thanks. Makes sense to me. I think the other part that we have to consider, and this is one of the reasons why the third bullet is in the document, is that we also need to get a certain amount of general agreement from our chartering organizations in the directions we're taking. So I think, yes, I think as much as Work Team 1 and 2 can get done in terms of explaining the mechanisms in some level of detail is a good thing. But again, we have less than a month to finish the report and get it on. And I think an integral part of this is how we continue on with the work. Andrew, your hand is still up. You want to say more? Yes, Tijani.
Okay, Andrew or me?
Andrew, I think he took his hand down, so it's you.
Okay, so I will read Resolution 20, the last paragraph. So, our work will be to develop a sustainable approach to providing support to applicants requiring assistance in applying for and operating new GTLDs. So we are asked to come up with a sustainable approach.
Right, and I think perhaps we're arguing over the meaning of sustainable approach, which and when that sustainable approach is delivered and in how much detail it needs to be delivered at each stage. I think what we're suggesting is a sustainable approach. What we're not necessarily suggesting at the same time is the detailed mechanisms by which that approach works. But let's see how much we can get done as opposed to continuing this. So I take at your point that we should get as much done as can be done in the next week or two. But be aware that it really is only a week or two we are talking about for each of the work teams to get as deep as they can.
Okay.
I mean, because the other approach would be just to sort of say, we're going to take longer. And I think that's a bad idea, personally. And obviously the group can decide that it's a good idea, and then I would go and ask for more time. But what I would prefer to do is to deliver a report of an approach. And here's how we're approaching the problem. Here are the things we say need to be done. Here are the things we need to be developed further. Here's the further work you would like us to charter to continue working on. And, you know, what do you say, chartering organization? So that's kind of the approach I'm taking in this report that we have less than a month to finish.
Actually, Avery, it's Evan. I want to back you up on the timing of this, especially since it's my understanding that staff is working on a newly revised DAG, and if we want to have our recommendations implemented in it, we really can't. We're really, unfortunately, bound by some of their timing.
Okay. And I saw two checks. So, but I really do encourage each of the work teams to get as much of it as deep as you can in the next 2 weeks. So I think that's up to the work teams. And unless anyone else has anything to add on the outline, we can continue to discuss it online and such, and it'll develop over time. I'd like to move over to the work team too. I see Olaf with a hand. Yes, Olaf.
Oh, very, very quickly. Thank you, Avery. Concerning the staff matter, the front matters and the back matters, I see them as communicating vessels. I think the front matter would be exceptionally short, really, and as much as possible put into the back matter when it comes to those pieces, not to tire everybody with lengthy introductions. So that's just a very quick comment.
I think that works fine when I've seen that. Basically, you refer to a motion in the front, but you quote the motion in the back.
Indeed.
Okay, yeah. That sounds good to me. Okay, then moving on to WT2, update on what's happened over the last week since our last meeting. And who is it? Is it Andrew? Is it Carlos? Who would like to take up the updating? Please, one of you. Or someone else that's in WT2. Even if it's to say not much has happened because we were still recovering.
Sorry, I was on mute. It's Andrew.
Oh, okay. I was beginning to have a panic attack.
No. But my apologies. I went ahead talking and I realized I put my phone on mute. Okay, quickly, we did have, I made an effort to try to draft some revised points based on the conversations that we had, specifically to try to address the issues that had come up in our last call. And I just sent that out to Olaf this morning. Olaf, I don't know if you got it. It should be in your inbox. And I'm not sure if we can get that put up or not. What we tried really hard to do was to get rid of, to punch through some of the points of confusion or unclarity. If we can put it up, then that's great. And I will. If not, what I can do is I can just read it because we they're not long.
Okay.
The
yep,
goal
please.
Was to...
Andrew.
Sir.
This is Olaf here. I fear I haven't received that.
Let me make sure that it went out, but in any
right.
case, it's not that long, so it shouldn't be.
Why don't you
that
send it out? Use. Send it out to the group and then read it through and talk us through it, please.
Okay. Well, I sent it to Olaf, so he should be receiving it. Let me read it through really, really quickly. Okay. I added a little. And both Alex and Carlos have had a chance to take a look at this, and they seem pretty comfortable with it. So what I did is I added a little bit to the preamble for the who should receive support. It now goes like this. Key to making a support program work is the choice of recipients who might receive support. The team agreed that this initial round would serve as a learning experience for the community, as a number of issues, demand, the amount and type of support resources available, and other issues become apparent. However, given the desire to get the program working quickly as part of this next GTLD round, which may start soon, Working Team 2 recommended that the initial focus in this first round of new applicants should be on finding a relatively limited, easily identifiable, and non-controversial set of potential applicants. This approach, described as the walk before we try to run approach, is not designed to include policy for every potential applicant, but only to help move the community forward as we learn. We changed this text to address the concerns that people had about limiting this group only to ethnic and linguistic applicants. So I have to basically say that it's not only limited to this group, but this would be our focus.
So, for this round.
Say it again.
For this round.
For this round, yes, sir.
Okay.
Pardon my reading. I'll do as good a job as I can, and please tell me if I'm going too fast, okay? So then there are 4 points below, and I see if we've captured what the group sense and the questions were. You turn them into question and answer. So, A, who should be in the first line for support? Who should be first in line for support? That was Q. Q is who should be first in line for support. A, for the initial/pilot phase, the working team recommends targeting support to ethnic and linguistic communities. For example, the Hausa community, the Quechua speakers, Tamil speakers. These potential applicants have the benefits of being relatively well-defined as groups and pass the test of being generally non-controversial. Such communities already have a history of recognition at ICANN, and facilitating community on the web is one of ICANN's core values. And then in italics, however, this does not mean that only ethnic and linguistic groups would be eligible, but rather that these groups should be considered first if there is adequate interest, given that they are considered a positive good for the Internet community and most closely fit the criteria above. Limited in scope, easily identifiable, generally non-controversial.
Okay.
B. Okay, sorry.
I've seen now three hands up, so when's a good point for us to take a break and let some of the questions come in?
Please, anytime.
Okay, so that's why I stopped it before B. Great. Okay, I had Richard, and then Tijani, and then Elaine, I believe. Or did I just say it backwards? Anyway.
Got it right. Actually, I wanted to hold my question until Andrew had finished, so let me wait.
Sorry. Tijani or Elaine, did you want to make your comment midstream, or would you prefer to wait also?
Yeah, it's only to say that I would like Andrew to send it on the list, because he's speaking too fast, and I understand half of what he say. So if I have something written, I will understand.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah. If you could send it out to the list, I think Olaf hasn't gotten it either. No problem.
I can send it just now if you'd like.
And
actually,
yes,
if it's sufficiently
and Elaine,
short,
did you want to comment now or wait until the end?
Avery, can I just add something now? If it's small enough, you said it's not very long. Why not just cut and paste it into Adobe?
Okay, let me try. Just one second. I'm trying
to do three things at the same time.
Yeah, sorry guys. How do I? Pardon my being sick. How does one do this?
Oh, this is Olaf. I need to promote you, which I will do now.
Okay. It's been a wonderful morning already.
And then you go down to the left-hand corner of the big pod, and you see share. You click on that, and you see select from document from my computer, and then you upload it from there. Or you could perhaps more easily just go for this, the notepod up in the right-hand corner. Clean that one. Just make a copy-paste into that one. And you don't need to convert it. So,
Chief, I don't see a notepad.
It's chat. It's called chat.
No, But which says, in the upper right-hand corner, says ICANN Brussels, reducing barrier to new GTLD creation and so on.
Got it.
That one. You should be able to access that and actually manipulate it as you please.
Okay. And just 1 second, and I will, I'm going to try and cut just the pieces that have been changed in this document, okay?
Okay.
Bear with me.
I can clean the notepad in the meantime.
Okay.
Something useful.
Let's try this. Hold on.
Okay, here goes. Now it's all yours.
Okay.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Did it work?
Yes, it did.
Yes.
Okay, and apologies, everyone, for the form. Like I said, everybody, is, as you know, is very, very busy, and so we're just trying to get this stuff out. If it needs a little bit of wordsmithing or chopping, then feel free. I have no problem with that at all.
Okay, just before we go on, Elaine, your hand was still up. Did you want to comment now or wait until the end?
Yes, Ruth. I'll comment now.
Okay.
In discussing this with people outside the group, I keep hearing, how do you define an ethnic and linguistic community? So I think we need to decide. Are we going to define that, or are we leaving it open to interpretation to all white men? Do they belong to a ethnic community, or are we going to be a little more narrow in that? And the second thing is I haven't seen anything on the list in the last week, and so the development of all of this text, where is this happening, and can I be a part of it, please? Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, the list is supposed to be used in common for everyone, but I understand that sometimes two people get together and work on something, which is great, but then it should be floated on the list. So I turn it back over to you, Andrew, to talk us through it. You don't need to read it all, but just talk us through the point.
Sure. Okay. First of all, to Elaine's two good points. In terms of defining ethnic and linguistic community, I think that's hard, and to some extent, I'm not sure that it should be our role to tell people how they define themselves. I think that creating a test for that will be difficult, but I understand the desire to do so. I would be very happy to receive some guidance on that. If there are, from my experience, there are, you know, traditional organizations, there are individuals that wish to try to speak on behalf, you know, to try and organize communities. There are a lot of different ways that communities organize themselves. And at the risk of being too vague, I also didn't want to prescribe how people should define themselves or how they should self-organize. That was item number one. Item number two, in terms of the work on the text, Elaine, the three of us, Alex, Carlos, and I, had been kind of working on this since the early days of Working Team 2. Certainly happy to have more inputs to it. It's just we got going on it, and to be totally honest, I just got comments back this morning. So that's why it hasn't made it to the list. There's no desire to keep anybody in the dark, quite the contrary.
This is Avery again. Is there any possibility of putting the text in a wiki form so that many people could see and work on it as it changes? Or is that just a model that's not comfortable to the people that are leading this effort?
I'm not so much a wiki person, but if you need us to do that, I may just need a little bit of explanation on how best to make that work with our workflow. That's all.
Okay.
I'm happy to take a lesson offline if that's easier for the rest of the group.
Okay, well, people can take this one to the list, and we can first do send it out to the whole list, and then if multiple people, I don't know how many people think editing on a wiki is a good thing. No one raising their hand. Okay. I see one. I'm just trying to encourage the use of these methods if we can, but I understand the time it takes to learn is sometimes stands between people doing it. Okay, why don't you... Okay, I see Evan and others. And Olaf. Okay. Certainly we can... It's easy for one of us that's comfortable on the wiki to put it there, to tell people it's there, and to give you the offline training. Now I see Olaf's got a terminal with a pointer. I don't understand that at all.
I'm just trying.
Okay. Okay. Would you continue talking us through, and then we'll get to Richard's comments.
Okay, sure.
So if you look at point A, which is the question, who should be first in line for support? And for those of you who are not English speakers, please tell me if I'm going too fast. My apologies. Not native speakers. As you'll see, the goal was to try to square both sides, to give some preference for these groups that we've identified as good initial targets while not excluding anyone else. I agree with the point that Avery made earlier on, which is let's try to get somebody past the post. My biggest concern, if we open it too much, is that there will be an infinite amount of discussion on who is eligible and not any money actually, or not any resources actually getting to needy applicants. So that was the whole ethos behind the desire to focus on ethnic and linguistic communities. If Elaine or others have some good ideas on how we can put some bounds on that aren't onerous or that don't feel too limiting, I'm more than happy to add more precision to that. Any particular questions?
Yes, I have one.
Yes, go ahead, Richard.
You guys can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yep, right. Yeah, so I think a little bit along the lines of what Elaine was getting at, and I guess Avery was talking about earlier. So let's hypothesize that ICANN does, in fact, decide to waive development costs for applicants in our category, so they reduce the actual $185,000 fee. So in that event, clearly there's going to have to be some fairly bright line rules as to who gets that sort of reduction in the application fee. So it's our intention, I take it, that sort of some of these fairly broad terms, like, you know, what is an ethnic and linguistic community, who is in need, who is sustainable. Are we assuming then that there would be a sort of another round of staff work to really define what these terms mean? That's my first point. And then my second point is I don't see, we did talk about this before, or at least I raised it before, but perhaps we thought it was a bad idea, but I don't see the notion of the string of the applicant being sort of reflective of their identity at all. So my question for Andrew and for the group is, are we okay with an applicant who meets all of the criteria that we've spelled out here? Are we okay with an applicant of that type getting support if they're applying to, say, dot support?
Okay.
Not sure I understand the question. Are you saying should they get support regardless of what the actual string is if the organization is deserving?
You're talking about my second point, Evan?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my question. My question is, would we be okay with an applicant met all of our criteria getting the subsidized fee if they applied for something like dot support?
Richard, this is Andrew.
Can I
make an effort to address that?
Go ahead, and just so people know, I have Tijani and Carlos.
My hand was still up.
Oh, your hand. Oh, that's okay. Yeah, you get lost in the tracking because you're promoted. Okay, sorry.
I'll wait until people have their comments. How about that?
Okay. So, Evan, I don't know where you were in the order of Tijani and Carlos, because I've been going off the little boxes on my screen.
Okay, they were very quick things, and one was technical in saying that doing a wiki doesn't really, it's not mutually exclusive with the way that the working group is operating until now. It's just essentially a window into the rest of the community. So if you guys basically are uncomfortable with doing things on a wiki or more comfortable with having done things in a certain way, that's okay, and Avery, Olaf, and I can be your interface, but essentially the wiki is simply a good way to be a window into the world for this. So I don't think I don't think the wiki is mutually exclusive with the way you've been doing things so far. And the other thing is regarding the definitions. I mean, I'm going under the assumption, and maybe this should be very explicit, that we are already talking about organizations that are identifying themselves as community applications under the existing community component of the DAG. Is that a good or a bad assumption? Because that may deal with some of the other questions.
Okay, Tijani.
Yes, I have a big concern about paragraph A of the text of Andrew. Andrew has put the ethnic and linguistic applicants in the first line, in the first priority. And I don't think it is the spirit of the Resolution 20. The Resolution 20 spoke about inclusive GTLD program and spoke about developing countries. So it is not, I don't think that our duty or our right is to prioritize some kind of applicant than others. We need to find who can be eligible for this support, but what kind of applicant can be eligible if you want. But we can't say this is the most important and this is the last important.
Okay, thank you. Actually, though, I think the group can recommend what it wants, and then the board will decide whether it meets their needs. I have Carlos, and then I have Olaf, and then I'm going to cut the discussion on WT2 so that we have some time left for WT1.
Avery, you're right. The group can recommend what he wants, but the group is directed by the Resolution 20, please.
Yes, but as we've often talked about, there's a lot of space for interpretation within Resolution 20.
It is wide. It is not specific, Resolution 20. That's the important.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
So, Carlos.
Thank you, Avery. I want to make a comment, quickly comment, about the question of Elaine some moments ago. There were, during Brussels meetings, some questions and comments asking about the concept of ethnic and linguistic groups. And these people saying that in the present, the communities around the world are all half-blood. But ethnic and linguistic groups are constituted by people who won't belong to these groups. And in some cases, it's not needed to have pure blood to belong to this group. It's our idea. We need to have in account that there are many interests, difference in relation with this, and are people not interested in that our work have well finish or end. So it's necessary to define, but not enter in discussions not necessary. Is my quick comment.
Thank you, Olaf.
Olaf here. I just wanted to respond to Evan's proposal that this community would be as we have it in the DAG, well, for the community applicants. Now, we should keep in mind, though, that the DAG opens the possibility, really, to self-select your community denomination. You actually decide for yourself, without it being checked, that you're a community applicant. The only thing, and the only point when it comes into play is in the contention situation where somebody else would like to have a string that's identical or confusingly similar. That's when you have the community priority evaluation step, and that's pretty far down the line. So it's only there where the community denomination or community application denomination plays a role. So I don't think it's relevant to just say that, okay, they're self-defined as community, and so be it. So that calls for some kind of measure to gauge whether it is a community that is worthy of getting the support in that's intended. Just a few comments. So
yes,
maybe a bit difficult.
Thank you. I'd like to actually halt this discussion now. I think we've opened up a lot of issues for people to take to the list, and I'd like to give Work Team 1 a chance to update us on what's happening and bring up issues. I have mentioned it in the discussion. I have put this text in the wiki, and I have a blank wiki page ready to put anything that WT1 tells me belongs there.
Aubrey, it's Andrew. Can I just respond to a couple of the quick points? Very briefly.
Can you do it on the list, please? And let's continue the discussion on the list, because as soon as you respond, people will want to respond to you.
Okay.
So please take it to the list, and let's continue the work on the list. Evan, I pass it off to you.
Okay. Well, there hasn't been a whole lot of mailing list discussion to update from the snapshot, which essentially is sort of our last point of reference. So what I was hoping to do right now was go back to that snapshot. I take it we don't have Tony with us on the call. Is Tony here?
No.
Okay. So would
he's
any
not on the call, Evan.
Sorry?
He's not on the call, not able to be contacted.
Would any of the other members of WT1 like to sort of pick up on where we left off on the snapshot and see if we can maybe do a little bit of expansion and refinement of that, given the fact that we have to sort of solidify this into something we can turn from suggestions into recommendations? I see Andrew's hand up. Is that about the last question, or is that now something new into WT1?
All right.
Andrew, go ahead.
No. I'm sorry. I lowered my hand.
Okay. So does anybody at all from WT1 who's on this call want to start? Okay, Elaine, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to ask for the snapshot to be posted, but I see it's there now.
Okay. We need to sort of kick up the activity in the mailing list, but I guess the intention right now is to take this significant list of suggestions and start to turn them from suggestions into recommendations. Is there anybody in WT1 or on this call that has any comments about moving forward with the snapshot? I'm not seeing a lot of raised hands. Does this mean that everybody likes what's in the snapshot? That we can just wordsmith it a bit, refine it, and submit it, or does anyone have concerns?
This is Aubrey. We may need to wait until we have some feedback from Tony.
Oh, I mean that's understood, but I'm just trying to get it just from the people that are on this call. Are people generally happy with the comments that are in there? Does anyone take issue with any of the suggestions? Because if that's the case, I mean, we can take it offline to the mailing list. We can make sure that we've got Tony's comments. But if that's the case, I think maybe the next step is just doing the wordsmithing necessary to turning this from suggestions into recommendations. To Jenny, could you comment a little bit on the Afro-African submission and to how that may affect some of the work that we've been doing in WT1?
Yes, sure. As you have seen, as you have read it, the statement of the African community was a little bit synchronized with our snapshot. It's not contrary. It's not absolutely different, but it is a little bit different in this sense that African people, African community, feel that they are that the digital divide make them away from this industry of TLDs. And they think that we need, the African community need a specific support for to enter into this this industry. They are speaking about community-based applications, but also about the commercial, not commercial, let's say about normal application from African region, because they think that the market is not wide enough, as I said last time. So for the working team one issues, it is almost the same, but there is more emphasis on the waiving of the development and the risk cost. It is clear in this statement that the waiving of those two costs is essential, because even the 100 kilo is not easy for the African applicants. So at least we have to waive those two costs. What else? For the ongoing cost, African community thinks that only the transaction cost have to be paid at its minimum level. Now they said in Brussels that it is now at 18 cents. So it is that's more or less the content of the African statement.
Okay. One of the comments here relating to the what Tijani said and regarding to statements in the document that is suggesting that specific and explicit reference be made to giving priority on this to applications from organizations based in Africa. Any comments?
I think it will be a good thing.
You've got Alex and Elaine and Richard.
Forgive me, my screen went away for a second.
Okay.
Wonderful experiences with Adobe Connect. Okay.
Right, you had Alex, Elaine, and Richard, and Andrew.
Okay. Andrew, okay. Alex, go ahead.
Okay, I want to echo what Tijani has said in the sense of the statement that was written. I got involved with it the eve of our presentation, and yes, the group that drafted it actually were calling for more priority of Africa. But we must also be sensitive, and I support that, but we must also be sensitive that our agenda and the resolution that was passed in Nairobi also covered other developing regions. So we do not want to be seen that we are giving priority of one and excluding others. We must also be seen, because we are participants in the work teams, that we are from Africa. We don't exclude other regions. But indeed, yes, Africa suffers the most. It has the bulk of the developing regions, if you like. Thank you.
Alex, just to follow up on this, are you saying that we should mention Africa in the documents but also make sure that it's not limiting, or that we should just not put in geographic reference?
I'm saying we could give priority to Africa. Yeah, we could mention Africa because of its weighted impact as a region, but we make sure also that we are not limiting, like the statement Andrew had written, that we are not limiting this to only Africa, the other developing regions that may as well qualify under WACTIM 2 and basically the entire Resolution 20, that they also qualify.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have Elaine next. Go ahead.
My comment is more about the process of allocation of support, so maybe I'll save that till the end of this discussion about developing nations. But, Johnny, if you wouldn't mind sending me any reference you have about this 18-cent or domain name fee, I'd appreciate that. Thanks.
Okay. Richard, you're next.
Yeah, thanks. So again, I think it's very important that we give or whoever's going to formulate the actual rules based on our recommendations, who's going to formulate the rules, I think we need to give them better guidance as to who's going to qualify. So at the moment we're saying that it's ethnic and linguistic groups, we're saying that it's needy groups, and now we're discussing a geographic factor. So I've got, again, two quick questions. What's the rationale for why applicants from a particular geography would supersede other applicants? Are we saying that it's because they're more needy? And if that's the case, I think we really need to define what needy means. If we're saying it's a different reason, then I think we need to articulate that reason in our list of qualifications for applicants. So in a nutshell, I don't understand the rationale for why applicants from one particular geography would supersede others. And just to emphasize the word supersede, I think it's important for us all to recognize that there will be limited funds for whatever it is we come up with. Not every person who wants to receive this subsidy is going to be able to receive it. The staff is absolutely going to have to pick and choose based on some bright line rules who gets access to the limited funds. So I think we need to give them clearer guidance. And my question is, what is the rationale for why applicants from one geography would supersede others? I'm not saying that there isn't a rationale. I just haven't heard what it is yet.
I would just personally take issue with your reference to limited funds. Based on some of the work from WT1, there's been identification of ways that would be able to drop the costs associated while still maintaining the principle of cost recovery. So I'm not sure if this is a matter of saying, well, there's only a specific small pool that will limit the number of applications.
Well, it may or may not be, but, I mean, my experience in life is that funds are not unlimited. So my expectation is that there's a likelihood that there's not going to be an unlimited ability to subsidize. But, let's not quibble on that. It's certainly possible, I think you might concede, that ICANN's going to have to pick and choose between applicants who want a discount. In any event, that doesn't change my question. My question is, what's the articulated rationale for why applicants from one geography would have precedence over others?
I can respond to that, and I think my hand is up next, Evan.
Go ahead.
Okay, there are a few things. First of all, in terms of why some geographies over others, and why we'd initially determined that we wanted to favor emerging markets or historically the challenged regions is because of the historical challenge. There are issues of bandwidth, there are issues of the access to professional services, there are just issues of market penetration, and one of the things that we had determined in our earliest conversations was that one of the goals of this group is to help provide access, to help provide footprint. So in areas where there isn't footprint, I think that there is that makes sense, Richard, Second of all, I think we identified early on that there are some very specific linguistic and technical disadvantages that a lot of these regions face. So it's not like we're talking about a level playing field. We're really not. And Africa is probably the region that is the most affected by that. That said, I think that we have to be very realistic in saying that if just declaring a blanket preference for one region over another, I think is dangerous in terms of our building the political support that we want. And I think that it doesn't fit the reality. There are places that have similar characteristics, and not all places in Africa are equally disadvantaged. In terms of your point, Richard, about the idea that there won't be an unlimited amount of funds, I encourage everybody to hear that point, because I agree with Richard very much. Even if we're only talking about this first round, in this very first round, if we can come up with some applicants that seem logical, that seem non-controversial, that get everyone excited about this, I think that there will be more resources. But if in the first instance it's unclear why we're choosing who we're choosing, and there is a choice that's going to be necessary, then I think it's going to negatively affect the likelihood of getting support in the future, which is one of the reasons why we were trying, with all respect to Johnny's point, why we were trying to narrow the field of applicants in the initial phase. Not because we don't believe that there's need, but because we have to make some choices, and if we can make some choices that are non-controversial in the first instance, we are likely to build support. Anyway, those are my points. Thank you.
Okay. I want to remind everybody that we're into our hour into the call, and I think Olaf said that we have a hard stop from some people.
Yeah.
So I guess we've got to wrap this up. There's a lot more work needs to be done on WT1, but we need to take that to the mailing list. Avery, do you have any wrapping up stuff of your own?
Only to say that continue the discussion, please, on the mailing list. We have a very lowly used, and we've got infinite time between now and the next meeting for people to have this, well, indefinitely large, for people to have active discussion. So please, a lot of issues have been brought up today. Let's take them. Let's work them out on the list. And thanks.
Avery, Cheryl here. Just if everyone can check that they do have access to the wikis. Interestingly enough, when I followed the links you set up, even though I'm logged into Social Text, can't get access to those pages now.
Okay.
Staff will look into that, and I will be given access, I can assure you, but it would be good if everyone else double-checked their ability to do the same. Because
I'll check the membership to make sure people are on it, too.
Yeah.
I can check the other way also.
Thanks.
Okay. So thank
okay.
you all. See you
okay.
next week. Oh, Elaine, you had your hand up on a point of work. Is that
yes.
correct?
Yes.
So you get the last word.
Thank you. So, of course, this will go to the mailing list, but the idea of that you put it here in the chat, Avery, who makes the decision and how are the funds allocated and how is the technical support distributed? I've heard multiple parties that some registry providers are more willing to support an ethnic linguistic community. Others are more willing to support an entrepreneur from Africa. So I think we need to discuss sort of a clearinghouse of support that's available and allow the providers some say in who they will work with or who they will support. And I'll bring that to the mailing list. Thanks.
Thank you. And talk to you all next week, but please make it an active mailing list this week. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.